bringing that song. And I'm thankful that our son Ryan is in our ministry, and God has used him greatly in really helping us in our music department and choirs, orchestra. And I'm thankful that he gets to exercise his gifting in writing music and writing these kind of hymns that truly speak truth and glorify the Lord. And I think it's okay. It's okay for us to, you know, learn something new, something that's biblical, something that is true. I think it's a little bit refreshing. And so if you're interested in getting any of that music, there's a few other songs that have been written. Please do see him, see us, send us an email, whatever. We'd love to share that with you. And just to encourage that ministry. Oh, well, I'm grateful you're here again this morning. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. And I want to just a message. Yeah, the Lord just kind of gave me this thought as I was doing my Bible reading this year. And I came to this verse and I began to ponder on it, and it really helped me. And I pray that this morning, the thoughts that will come out of this text would be a blessing and a help to somebody here this morning. And if you have your Bibles open to Joshua chapter 5, I want to read verses 11 and 12 and just give you a bit of context of that chapter. The children of Israel have crossed the Jordan River. They've already conquered on the east side, and the two tribes have taken what they've wanted there in the land, and now they've crossed the Jordan and they are in Gilgal. And a few things have taken place. They went back and practiced again their covenant relationship with God, with circumcision, as those who grew up in the wilderness were not circumcised. And then they kept the Passover that day and practiced that. And now God is just preparing them. Now that they've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, they're now about to go in and conquer and take the promised land that God gave in a promise to Abraham and to them, that they would come and occupy the land that's filled with milk and honey. And so we get to verse number 11, and the Bible says this, "And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." And today I would like to, next few moments, just to teach and just go through what do we do? How do we respond when the manna ceases? When there is a transition in life, there's a transition in ministry, things change, they're not the same anymore. How do we respond to that transition? Father, we thank you this morning for this time. We ask you, Lord, that you'd help us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, lead us and teach us your word. And Lord, I pray that you would captivate our minds and hearts this morning. I pray that we would not be distracted. And Lord, that you would truly plant the seed of your good word into our hearts, and may it transform us, that we would be more like Christ. Help us this morning. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know the story of the children of Israel being delivered out of Egypt. As you read your Bible, you get to Exodus chapter 16. You know, before that, mighty power of God delivering them out, great wonders, and you know, they crossed the Red Sea by a great miracle on dry land. And imagine being there, experiencing all of that. That would be just amazing, wouldn't it? But the Bible tells us in Exodus 16 that now it's been 2.5 months that they've been journeying, and they're now hungry. Whatever the provisions were that they came out from Egypt, whatever they took, that it has been consumed now. And so they get to the point where their bellies are, you know, kind of stomach cramps are happening. How many people know about hunger pain and the like? No, you don't know what hunger pain is like. You know, I don't think any of us have ever experienced real hunger pains. You know, we know when we want to eat, and some of us say we get, you know, hangry when we're not fed, and you know, our mood and temperament changes when our bellies are empty. And certainly this is what happened with the children of Israel. You know, 2.5 months wandering around, now they're hungry. And they begin to murmur and complain to Moses, would that we would have stayed in Egypt and ate of the flesh pots and, you know, ate of what, you know, we were under bondage and, you know, it was hard living, but at least we had something to eat. And isn't it amazing how, you know, everything in perspective changes when our bellies are empty? And that's exactly what happened to them. And so they began to murmur and complain about what God was doing. And the Lord says to Moses, all right, well, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you manna from heaven. You've never seen anything like it before. In fact, you know, Psalm 78 says men ate angels' food. I don't know what that was like. I'm sure it would have been tasted. It says that, you know, like a wafer of honey. You know, I like sweet things. I've got a sweet tooth. And I think it would have been something amazing to experience and to consume. And that the Lord gave them quails that night as well. And the Lord fed them. He took care of them. And here's the interesting thought, that for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. Guess what they had every day? They had manna every day. I mean, God provided for them during that period of time. And the story tells us that the instruction was this. It was very simple, that you would wake up in the morning and you'll see this thing on the ground. And you are to go and count the number of people that are in your household. So there's me, there's my wife Sharon, there's Jeremy. He might count as two, not as one. But, you know, there's Jeremy, there's Ryan, there's Larissa. And so we were to go out early in that morning and we were to gather enough just for the people in our tent, right? The people who are in my family. And it was supposed to be one omer, which is a measure, and I'll give you the measure in the metric, which is about 2.2 litres. So if you take a container of milk, which is a 2-litre milk container, just a little bit more than that is what they were to collect per person. All right, and that's what they were to gather. Now, they were to gather just enough per person. And you were not to take more and you're not to take less. The equal measure, God gave them something precise, something that was going to sustain them every day, and God was going to be true to His word. And you know what people are like, and God said that, you know, I'm going to prove you through this. You know what some people did? You know, they said, well, you know what? I need more than just an omer. And the ones who took more found out they didn't have anything left. I mean, they were still hungry. And those who thought, well, you know what? I'm going to gather, but I don't know that God will give us more tomorrow, so I'm going to take more for tomorrow. And what they did, what they found out the next day is that the stuff that carried over the next day, it stunk and had worms in it. And so, you know, here is man thinking that I know better than God. Yeah, God, I'm thankful for your blessing, but I'm going to take more than what you're going to give me. I want more. And isn't it interesting that, you know, humanity has such greed. Even though God is being faithful in His giving, yet we think in a way that, no, I need more for myself. And so they were to go out 6 days to go and gather. And on that sixth day, they were to gather twice as much. So Friday, they would gather twice as much because they were to keep the Sabbath on Saturday and not to go out and gather anything. All the preparation had to be on Friday. And you know what the Bible tells us, that even then, understanding what God commanded, guess what some people still did? They went out on the Sabbath. And they thought they're going to gather, but they found none. And so here it does communicate man's wicked intentions and shows us God's great faithfulness. And when we begin to examine the story and we get to this part of our text and even to the end of Exodus 16, it says, and they ate of the manna for 40 years until they came into the land. Now, just think about that. Think about having to eat the same, you know, manna every day and having to consume it in its right proportions every day. Unless there's some big eaters, you know, I remember one time KFC had all you can eat in Sydney. Right, it was up in Carlingford, and it was the first KFC that said, you know, you can eat all that you want. And a few of the fellas from our church went there, and sure enough, they ate all that they could eat. And they sent the store broke that day. And from that day on, they shut that promotion and it wasn't offered again. I mean, if you want to know you can eat as much as you can eat, just invite some of the Lebanese boys and they'll tell you how much they can eat. But here the Lord said to them, no, you will take in a precise measure every day. And every day they had that exact measure, which they ate for 40 years. And, you know, some of them who grew up, you know, who were born in the wilderness, that's all they ever experienced. Now, just think about that. Think about that, you know, that's all they knew. They knew every morning they'd wake up and there is the provision of manna. Every day it was the same. They didn't know anything about having to go and plow the land and sow a seed. They were nomadic. They were moving around all the time. And all they knew and understood is like, yep, God took care of us. We wake up every morning and we know what to do, what the drill is. We'll take our little bowl with us and we scoop it up and we bring it back home. And then we knead it, we cook it, we make it into bread and we eat it. And that's all they ever understood. But now they've entered into the promised land. Now they've crossed over, and now they are in a transition. There's going to be a change. There's going to be a shift. And it's going to be interesting for many of them because they've never experienced this before. And the Bible says that when they entered in, the manna ceased. What do you do with what you are usually accustomed to, what you in life thought, well, that's how it's going to be, and I expect it to be, and tomorrow it's going to be the same, but God decides to change it? Does the Lord have the right to change things?
Yes.
I think He does. I tell you what the problem is that we, as we get older, we find change quite difficult. How many people say here, I love change. I love it when they change things on me. I love how they change the date of this conference. I love how they change the name of this conference. I love how they don't let me wear a tie when I'm preaching. You know, change comes along. And I think we need to be people who understand how to embrace change, and there will always be transition. You know, you transitioned in life. Aren't you glad you're not walking around with nappies anymore? Aren't you glad that you know how to walk? Aren't you glad that you know how to feed yourself? Aren't you glad that you finished school? How many people say, thank God I finished school? Yeah, aren't you glad that you were able to be, you know, drive yourself around, and then you had another transition, you found a job, and then you got through another transition, you found your life's partner and you got married. And that was a major transition, wasn't it? You know, trying to get adjusted to your partner in marriage and things are different and you just want to kill each other at first, and then you say, well, it's not worth killing one another, just learn how to live with one another and, you know, make life work together. There's transition all the time. But what about transition when it comes in our spiritual life, and transition that happens in our churches, or transitions that happens, you know, with change of leadership, whatever it might be? How do we handle a transition? Can God bring about a change? Would we allow God to bring about change? And, you know, if we really think about it, life from birth till death is a continual transition. And we need to learn how to manage that and what are our expectations through it. And certainly here is this text where we find the children of Israel now have entered in and they've eaten out of the corn of the land, because straight after the Passover is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and now they were making unleavened bread with the corn of the land. And when they finished the Passover, there was no more manna coming through. They had to learn to eat from the land. And so what does that speak to us? What does that teach us this morning? And I'm going to go through and just bring about four thoughts that may help us this morning in understanding and learning how to manage any change or transition in our lives. And the first thought I get to examine here is it really speaks to us about the character of God and shows us that God had been faithful. God is faithful in every season of life. Whenever a season changes, we may reminisce. We may think, oh, I can't believe it's over. You know, I really wish it would just stay as it is. And we just keep thinking about the past. But God, in this instance here, the Bible says there's a transition. The manna ceased. God's methods may change in your life, but I want you to know this: God's character does not change. See, the problem is that sometimes we are looking to the method to which God is providing rather than the great God who's behind the provision. And what ends up happening that when the provision is changing, or the method of the provision is changing, or the way God is working. Well, when we see that changing, it begins to shake us and thinking, now we're anxious. Now, God, I'm used to what this has happened in the past, and we've done this for so many years, and now you're bringing about a change. I don't know which way this is going to go. You ever been in that situation? You ever been in that situation where the transition is taking place and you're unsure, you're uncertain about what's taking place? Well, God always associates His provision to His purpose in that season of life that you're in. Did you know that? In the wilderness, they had to be proved about their obedience to Him. Their faith was to be developed, that they had to be dependent upon Him. He was to provide for them for those 40 years, that they had to grow in that faith and believe that God can and He will. And for many years, you probably relied on the Lord in a certain provision, in a certain way, in a certain method that He's working in your life. And now God may want to change that method. God is faithful. Regardless of the season of ministry that you're in, regardless of the stage of life that you're in, regardless of what you're experiencing right now, don't put your eyes on the provision or the method of the provision. Put your eyes on the great God who doesn't change, who loves you and said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God's provision continued. Isn't it amazing? You know, the wilderness journey was over and now they've entered the promised land. And God didn't stop providing. I mean, you just think about this. God gave a bumper crop to those Gentile heathens enough to prepare that when the children of Israel would come in, they didn't have to work that first year. The corn was already provided. I mean, think about a great God who is faithful, understands your needs, understands my needs. He has a great purpose in your life. He has a great purpose in my life. He has a great purpose in your church. Do you believe that? And He knows what He's doing. And if there's a change in season, let us not put our eyes on the change, but let's fix our hearts and our eyes on the great God who is still faithful. Regardless of the season, God is faithful. God is faithful. And He will attach His methods or His provision to the season that we find ourselves in. Now, if your faith is tied to how God works, or to the method that God is using to bless your life or bless your ministry, it will shake when He changes things up. When things begin to change, you know, things that you never counted on. Some people leave your church. Some great givers leave your church. Some people in your church who truly love the Lord, God has moved them on into another ministry. And then you begin to think, you know, I relied on these people. And God changes the way things are happening. You know, sometimes when some people leave, we say, praise the Lord. God answered. He knew what we needed. And the Lord provided. Thank God. But sometimes it is a heartache when there's change in the church. Sometimes there's a heartache when there's a change in leadership, when there's a change in a pastor. I know, you know, we went through that a few years ago and it really broke, you know, for me personally, it just really broke my heart. And to see how God is just changing things around. And I never expected to be the pastor of our church. I saw myself as being a guy who's in business that made, money and used that to for missions and to help the ministry and support, you know, our church, local church, and do whatever I can to be a support to the pastor. But God had other plans and brought about change. And sometimes when we just look at the change and we focus on it, it shakes our faith. And I'd be honest with you, my faith was shaken. I was shaken to the core. And I was like questioning, God, well, what is it that you're trying to do? What do you want in our life? What do you want from our church? What do you want from this ministry? What do you want from my family? And God began to do a work and had to remind me that I am the one who is with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I think it's important that we begin to count on the faithfulness of God. God is faithful regardless of the season we find ourselves in. When we were young, I got married at the age of 23. My beautiful wife, Sharon, she was 28. No, she wasn't. She was 22. I always tell people she's older than me. You know why? Because she always tells me you need to grow up. So you know, like, but she is younger than me, just to let you know, she is younger than me. And we had really not, we didn't have much when we got married. We were quite, you know, poor and but the Lord was good. Amen. The Lord was good. All right. The Lord allowed us to, you know, save some money, and with the help of her parents, we were able to buy a land, small plot of land, and build a house, very humble beginnings. And that was the provision of God. And we were both working. I had just finished my education was working for a large accounting firm. And, wasn't earning a lot of money back then. And she was working in retail, and we worked hard trying to, you know, pay the mortgage. And we're thinking, like, we can't afford to have children. If one of us gives up their job, like, I don't know what's going to happen. And then one day Sharon comes home and she's crying her eyes out. I'm thinking, like, what's wrong? She says, I just went to the doctors. And she's just weeping. And I'm thinking, like, oh no, there's something really bad. And she's been diagnosed with something that is terrible. And she says to me, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, my smile came on my face and it's like, yeah. Now, as happy as I was, being a bean counter, this is what happened to me. When I'd go to sleep, she goes to sleep, I sit and I stare at the ceiling. And I start to do the math. And I say, the mortgage is this much, the groceries are that much, the utilities are that much, fuel is this much, but it doesn't add to what I earn. It's not gonna tally up. And I would toss and turn and begin to come up with strategies in my mind, thinking, what if I drop this? Now, what if we sell the car? No, I can't. If I sell the car, how are we going to get around? We only have one vehicle. Maybe we'll cut down on the groceries. Well, we're frugal as it is. I mean, like, we eat at my family's all the time. And, you know, what am I going to cut out? Then I thought, you know what? You know what? God understands. God understands. I will just cut my tithes and giving. God knows. God knows. So, I would discuss that with Sharon. She goes, don't you dare. She was more spiritual than what I was. I can tell you that much. And, you know, it was a moment of faith growing in that season. God was faithful. I was looking to the circumstance of the change that was coming into our life and not seeing a great faithful God who will still provide. I gotta tell you the story. I was sitting in my cubicle and working away, and it was lunch break, and eating at my desk, and I can hear the guy behind me in the cubicle talking on the phone and saying, no, I can't do it. This semester is too hard for me. I will not be able to do it. Listen, you guys work out what you need to do. I might be able to find somebody for you. So he puts that call on hold, pops his head over the cubicle and says, hey, Mans, are you interested in lecturing in tax and accounting at the university? And I was like, yeah, I've been praying, asking God to give me something. And I turned around and said, well, yeah, tell me about it. And he goes, well, it's only like 3 nights a week, 2 hours every night. And just do that and they'll pay you really well. I said, really? Yeah, I'll be in for that. Let me tell you, I ended up getting that role, and I taught there at that university 3 nights a week. And in 3 nights of 6 hours, I made more money than what Sharon was making working full time. Now, that miracle has happened in my life time and time again. The seasons of change that God brought about in my life, let me tell you, there were some tough days. There were some tough days. I remember the time when, I started my own accounting firm and my practice. And you can work and you can bill, but people don't pay the accountant that quickly. Yeah, somehow in their mind, I got to pay my tax first and then I'll pay you. And you're only as good as how much tax you save them. That's the way they measure it. I don't know how, as if my fee is linked to how much tax I've saved them. I mean, it doesn't work that way. But there were days where the overdraft was really overdrawn and I had to pay the salaries and I had no money to bring home and give Sharon. I mean, we had a child, children, you have, things for them, milk and all the different kind of nappies and clothing. And, And I would have to say to her, honey, I got nothing. And that was a challenging time. But let me tell you, God never forsook us. God was faithful. God provided. God provided in just a huge measure in my life. And I'm thankful that it is His faithfulness and goodness to me. You know, I think one thing we learn about a transition is this. God never changes. He is faithful in our life. Whatever He did in your previous season, He's going to continue in your new season. Trust Him. Learn to depend on Him. And they depended on the provision every morning that they would receive the manna. But now God was going to continue to be faithful, but provide in a different way. God was going to provide in a different way. This is going to take a bit more effort now. God would have to bless their labors and their work for them to be able to receive the blessing of the land. So we come to this second point here, which I think is a good thought, that if we look at change and transition in this way, it begins to encourage our hearts. You know, sometimes we lament the ending of a season or a change in a season, and we begin to lament it. Yet, I want you to understand that when God brings about a change, it's because you have completed that season. You ever played a video game? I hate video games, by the way. You know, you play in certain stages, don't you? You complete a stage, and then what happens? You get to the next stage. And then you get to the next stage. And some people get stuck at a stage and they're infuriated how they don't know the answer, how to go around, you know, this particular track or whatever it might be. How will they get to the next stage? But I've learned this thing in my life. If you trust God and do well in the life season that you're in, God will move you to another season. God will move you to another season. Learn it. Do well at it. What God has put in your hand, do it well. Amen. Do it well where you are. And when there's a change in that season, that means God has said and seen in your life that now you've completed that stage and now you're ready to move into another stage. And the Bible says that when they had eaten of the corn of the land, the manna ceased. All right. The promise has been fulfilled. I've supported you, I have looked after you, I've provided manna every day for 40 years. Now that you've entered the promised land, it's going to be different. There's another stage, there's a different way now. We cannot lament what the past was, that we ought to be looking and excited about how God will now provide in a different way. The wilderness season had its purpose to humble them, to teach them dependence, and to claim the promise of God. And God's provision was tied to that promise. But now they have come into this promised land, and things are going to become new for them. Manna was for the wilderness, but now corn was to be for the land. The wilderness taught them dependence. And now the land will teach them stewardship. The new season God had a purpose for. They had finished one season. They had learned what their dependence upon God. And now God is going to enter them into a new season in which He would give them the land, and they'd have to now sow it, water it, harvest it, and steward what God has given them. And God would take you into a new season in your life, and He wants to accomplish a purpose in you in that season. So when you look at the ending of a season, don't look at that as a loss. If God is bringing a seasonal change or a transition in your life, don't lament it as being a loss. I hear a lot of people say the good old days. How many people reminisce of the old good old days? And we begin to think about the good old days. You know, your future is much brighter when you're with the Lord. He has a purpose. He wants to accomplish His purpose in you. The thing is, with us, we get anxious because we don't understand how it's going to work out. We're just used to the norm of what the yesteryears were like, and that's how we did it, and that's how, the method was successful, and that, yet God is going to bring about a change. Think about that in your ministry a little bit. Sometimes we have more faith in the methodology of what God used in yesteryears than in the God himself of what he can do in our day today. Is it okay to say that? Is it okay to say that? You know, we look at methodologies that God blessed in yesteryears, and we look at that as being the formula for success in ministry today. You know what we've forgotten? We've forgotten that there's a great God there who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask of him. He can change things around. We just need to be faithful and submissive to his will, be obedient, hold on to him. He will accomplish his purpose in our life. And so here they're moving away from just a dependence on the manna, but now there is dependence on the provision of God through their work and through their stewardship of what they do. The manna did not cease because they failed. It ceased because they had arrived into the land. And I think if we just pause and think about that a little bit, maybe God is bringing a seasonal change or a shift in your life or in your ministry, not because you've done anything wrong, not because things never worked out, but maybe because you have arrived to a stage where we're now moving into second gear. Now we're moving into something. It might be a little more complex. It might be a little bit more of a challenge. It might take a bit more work. It might take a bit more perseverance. It might take a bit more of a heartache. It might drive us to our knees. It might get us to see God in a greater light. But it is a good season to be in when God transitions us into a new season of life. When the manna ceases, how do you respond? How do you respond when God is changing things up for you? I want you to look at the brighter side. I want you to see that if God is bringing about a change in my life, that's because he has greater things for me, and I'm going to grow in faith and I'm going to achieve greater things for him. Amen. Sometimes we mourn what God removes, not realizing it means we've moved forward. What you think you're losing may actually be proof that God is advancing you. Might be right now that God is doing a work to help you move on in your personal life, in your relationship at home, or wherever it may be, or in your workplace. There's a change, and we begin to question God. Why, Lord? Why I didn't get that promotion? God, why did I get that promotion? And God, why did you change things in my life? And God is just advancing you. You know what human nature is? Just keep me where I'm comfortable. Don't change it. We're accustomed to this. We've been used to this for 40 years. We got manna every day. And that's how it's always been. And many Christians sit there and reminisce the past and lament the past and say, oh, if only we were what we used to be. Now, I've heard people say, you know, some people in our church say, boy, when we were at Croydon Park, they were the good old days. And I'm thinking like, yeah, they were good days, but we have better days today. Yeah, what God is doing today is far marvelous, far greater in our eyes. And God is moving and putting us in a new season of ministry. And he's advancing his cause. And we're seeing people saved and people growing in Christ. And God is adding to the ministry. Listen, I'm more excited today than what I was excited when we were back at Croydon Park. I think you need to have that perspective. I think we need to see that when God brings a transitional change, we haven't lost, but we are moving exactly where God wants us to be and he's maturing us. It would also indicate that we have grown spiritually. You know, it takes more faith to have to work the land and trust God for the increase than what it would be to wake up every morning, get my bowl, and shovel it out. Right? I mean, if God has moved you away from just going and taking your bowl to now you have to plow the land, let me tell you, God sees that you have grown spiritually. God wants to stress your faith. God wants to show you that he can still take care of you. Yes, it might require more work on your part, but God is still there. God is still providing. God's still blessing. You know what we want? We just want the comfort. We want the cruise control. I remember when Cruise Control came out, you know, many years ago, I was fascinated. I was fascinated how a car could accelerate by itself. And, you know, I would, I couldn't afford one of those cars, but someone did that I knew. And I would get in that car and I would just, I was too scared at first. Like, I didn't want to go too fast. So I'd be going 40 kilometers and put cruise control and just wait and see how will that car keep, continue to propel itself. But we're used to it now, right now, aren't we? Now we want something more advanced. Now I don't want it just to drive. If somebody brakes in front of me, I want my car to brake also.
Yeah.
Now, I still have one of those old cars that don't brake. And I remember, I have to remind myself, no, this one doesn't brake. You better brake. But, you know, we get accustomed to things, don't we? And here's the Lord wanting to stretch our faith. He brings us into different seasons. And those different seasons is to help us see Him in a greater light. My personal experience in business, I've seen God do some miraculous things for us. I'll be honest with you, we got to the brink of bankruptcy 3 times. And you know how you get to that point, you think, I'm going to lose everything. And you begin to question, you ask God, where are you? Where's the deliverance going to come from? But I have to say to you, God showed up at the last minute every time. And that turnaround happened in our experience. And I'll tell you what happened. The first time, it shook me to my core. Like I couldn't understand how could things turn around the way they did. But the second time around, it was like, well, you know what? God did something last time. Maybe He'll work for us again.
Yeah.
And so we trusted Him, and guess what happened? God works for us again. And then the third time around, it's like, okay, well, I've been here before.
Yeah.
I've seen this before. I'm still a little bit nervous, but you know what? God has delivered me before. Doesn't that sound like David, who he delivered me from the lion and from the bear, and now he's able to deliver me from this man, this wicked man? You know, God gives you experience, and through every season of that experience, guess what He's doing? He's stretching your faith. He's growing you. And you're going to move into another season. And in that season, you know, it's going to be more fierce than the season before, and you're saying, can I really handle it? Yes, God knows what you can handle, and He won't give you anything that you can't handle, that is above your measure and ability. God is still faithful. He will provide for you. Not only does this tell us that God brought completion of a season in their life, but thirdly, would you look with me here? It helped them transition, and it called for their cooperation now. The Bible says that the manna ceased on the morning after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. There's now a difference which requires their involvement. It requires their cooperation. And they've moved away from a wilderness dependence to now working and laboring with God and allowing God to give them the increase. This is not less dependence, but I see this as a deeper form of dependence. Now I have to trust that God, you know, I'm going to do everything that I can. I'm going to be diligent in plowing the land. I'm going to make sure in the right season I'm planting the seed. I'm going to make sure that I'm not slothful in my business and you know, just sleeping and then hoping that one day there's going to be a crop up there.
Right.
And now that they can't just, you know, say, well, it's just going to appear tomorrow morning. No, it's going to require them to actually labor with God. It's going to require them to do a bit more work. It's going to require them to have an increased amount of faith. And my heart goes out to every farmer. I mean, you hear those stories, don't you? They worked so hard, they planted the seed, they've worked all night, and then a storm comes through, a cyclone, and just wipes the whole crop out. I mean, if you were that farmer, I mean, your heart will just sink, would it not? And so they would have to trust God and trust their crop to the elements and the weather of the day. And they'd have to believe that God is going to give them what they needed. And so faith grows in every season. Yesterday's faith gathered manna, but today's faith requires to plow a field. Both required some faith. But plowing the field requires greater faith. Both require trust, but at different levels. And I believe Christians today need to learn how to adapt when faith is being stretched. I think we need to learn that, you know, things can be different. How can I handle that difference? And God is trying to help us grow, and we need to adapt. We need to take the new steps. We need to take on our responsibilities. These are new ways of expressing our faith in God. And whatever the challenge may be, let's rise up to it. Let's go with where God is leading. And let's not pull back into where we used to be. The danger of wanting yesterday's provision in today's world is a problem. That's almost like the children of Israel, when God was providing the manna, what did they crave for? The flesh pots that were back where? In Egypt. I think sometimes as Christians, we're like that. We begin to crave the past and crave what it used to be like and how church used to be. And we don't want to see how God is moving us on. And we resist it. Yet, be careful. Be careful. Because the new season that you might be in is a different provision to what it was in the season before. And God has allowed and brought you through a new season for a reason, for a purpose. And we need to work with God's plans, not our plans. Sometimes we envision the ministry according to what I would like it to be. We have the expectation. Should be this way, should be that way. And I love what Pastor Skelly said Monday night. Paul had all the plans about going to Rome and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Yet God changed his plans around, did he not? And God is able to change your plans. He's able to change my plans. He's able to change the season in our life. And how would you respond to it? We need to allow God to do something new in our life. How many people like new things? Do you like a new car? Do you like a new house? Do you like a new wife? No, forget that. No, that's not right. Would you like something new that God would do for you? Then what is it when God brings something new? What is it? Why do we resist it? Why is it that we just hold on to what we know and say, no, I just want the manna that I had in the wilderness. God had something far greater for them. And I want to leave you with this thought here. You cannot live on yesterday's manna in today's calling. You cannot. You cannot live on yesterday's manna in today's season, in today's calling where God has you to be. Lastly, this morning, and we'll be quick, I also see in this text a picture. And it actually clarifies the Christian journey. Now, I know that the promised land is not exactly heaven, but it foreshadows as the people of God came into God's rest, there's going to be a day where we are going to enter into God's rest. Maybe today we can liken the wilderness journey to our present Christian life here on earth. Maybe if you help me with this and go along with my thinking here, this parallel might be a little bit weak, but I want you to know that today as we live here on earth, we're daily depending on God's grace. We're daily depending on his provision. Today I'm depending on him to strengthen me through a trial. Today I'm asking for clarity and understanding and sufficiency for the hour that I'm facing right now. God, I need you today. And today I'm living by faith and my faith is being stretched and God has shown me some great things and he's identifying himself through the affairs and circumstances of my life and I'm trusting him and I'm walking by faith and not by sight. But one day, faith is going to give to sight. The provision is going to change. Today, I'm learning to trust, learning to walk right, learning for God's provisions to be provided. But one day, it's all going to be there. Aren't you glad? Let me say hallelujah to that. One day, I don't have to toil the way I toil today. One day, I don't have to fight my flesh the way I fight my flesh today. One day, I don't have to worry about, you know, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to make a mistake. One day, I'm going to be in the eternal presence of Jesus. And his provision in eternity will be sufficient for me. Right?
What does the Bible say in the new heaven or in the new earth? That there will be no sun there. Why? Because God will be at the center of it and he will be the light. I mean, I don't comprehend that really, honestly, to tell you what that was going to be like. But I think it's amazing. He's going to be the all-sufficient one for us for all of eternity. I'm grateful that Jesus said that he was the bread from heaven. He is the one who can satisfy your soul. He's the one who saved you. How many people are grateful that they're saved by Jesus Christ? He's the provision for us today. He's the provision for all of humanity today. Today, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, run to Jesus. He's the bread of life who will satisfy you and will give you eternity with him. You're not going to find it in any church or creed. You're not going to find it in a denomination. You're not going to find it in your righteous acts or in your religious activity. You're only going to find eternity in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the bread of heaven. I'm grateful that I came to know Christ as my Savior. I'm grateful that there's going to be a day when I am not going to struggle the way I'm struggling today. I'm grateful there's going to be a day where I'm going to be in his presence for all of eternity to love him and to serve him. And so here we see now as we journey this life, we receive sufficient grace and measure for the hour. But then when we will enter into his eternal rest, we will experience the fullness of his pleasure and joy forevermore. And I'm looking forward to that day, and I hope that you are also. What manna could never fully satisfy, God will complete. What manna couldn't satisfy completely in the wilderness, God fulfilled and completed his promise and gave them the provision. And let me tell you today, whatever you may be struggling with, whatever may be a chore right now, whatever the season that you're in may be difficult, just keep laboring at it. Keep trusting God for it. For one day you will enter into his presence and we want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In his presence is the fullness of joy. We all understand transitions. We all understand that life is full of change and seasons, and we need to see God working in every season. And we need to trust him in that season. He's able to do that work in us. God is faithful in every season. God closes a season when his purpose is complete in that season. And God will call you to grow into a new level of faith in a new season. And God is leading us every day to an ultimate place, which is in his presence. Are you resting? Take a moment and think about this. Are you resting in the faithfulness of God in the season that you're in right now? Are you resting? Talk about sila, pause, rest, reflect. Am I today resting in the new season that God is bringing me in? Or am I sitting with anxiousness in my heart? I don't understand it. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why there's a change. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why our ministry is changing. I don't know why. You can have all those questions. Maybe the season is changing and the method might change in which God provides, but he doesn't change. He will still be faithful in that season. Would you rest in the faithfulness of God? Will you be prepared to let go of old methods, old ways in which God worked for you and the way he did things for you? Would you trust him that though things might be changing today, that he can still work for you? That today, whatever that might look like for you, I don't know, maybe it's a new relationship, maybe it's a new job, maybe it's a new place of ministry, maybe God is changing things in where you're serving, but will you trust him that he's leading you? And there's some great opportunities now. It's not as easy. I remember, I sometimes wrestle with God and say, how is it that at other places they can preach a message and they call for an invitation and people come flocking? And I preach a message and I'm toiling really hard to get somebody to the altar. You know, it might be different where you are. It might be a different season where you are. And it's a different season where we're at. But would you begin to rely and say, God, you know the season that we're in. God, you know what you're doing. God, this is your church. These are your people. Lord, I just want to stay faithful to rightly dividing the word of truth. And God, whoever you bring along, that's your provision. And who you move along to somewhere else, that's your provision. And God, I'm just going to trust you through every season of my life and of my ministry. Are you growing in faith? Are you allowing God to stretch you? Or are you resisting because all you want to do is reminisce the past? I just want to remember what it used to be like. I just want to live in the past. I used to love what it was in the past. I used to love how church used to be in the past. Listen, would you allow God to be God? Let me say to you, this is not your church. This is not Pastor Hernan's church. That is not my church. This is the Lord's church. And he said, I will build my church. Now, would you allow him to build it?
Very good.
Would you allow him to use you just as a vehicle to build the church? God wants to use you and grow you. Would you just grow with it? Would you just learn to depend on him through it and stop reminiscing of what it used to be like? The God who gave manna in the wilderness is the same God who gives fruit in the land. That's what they had to learn. The God who gave them manna in the wilderness is the same God who gives them fruit in the land, and they now had to learn how to steward it. So when the manna ceases in your life, how are you going to respond? What are you going to think? What are you going to do? When the manna ceases, do not fear. Just simply ponder on the goodness of God and think about this. God is leading me into greater heights, and he's doing something greater in my life, something greater in my ministry. God is doing something greater in our churches. Amen. When the manna ceases, how do you respond? Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word, and Lord, these thoughts that we've began to ponder on this morning. Lord, would you minister that? Lord, by the Holy Spirit this morning, would you just use it in someone's life? Someone today may be struggling in a season they're in. Maybe, Lord, they're asking the questions. They're seeking your face. Lord, would you help them? Lord, as they see a change, that they don't resist it, but embrace it with your power and your grace in their life, and to teach them and to lead them to greater heights. Father, I pray that you would work your good pleasure in us. Pray, Lord, for every person here today. Pray, Lord, you know the need. You know us through and through. Pray, Lord, that we'll hold on to you, not to look to our circumstances, not to look at how you're providing today. Lord, you can change that, but your character never changes. You never change, and you're continually faithful to us. You're a good God. You're so good to us. Help us, Lord, to trust in you. To wherever you lead, whatever you're doing, Lord, that we would surrender to it, that you would have your good pleasure in us and through us. Until you return, Lord, help us to occupy and to be faithful and to do your bidding and to be diligent at the tasks you've put our hands to. And Lord, may we be found faithful as we serve you in the time that we have. We love you and we thank you for our time together now. In Jesus' name, amen.